the music of Mike Jones, Big Mike Jones Orchestra, playing the Pendulette theme. And Jonesy's coming in at the end of the show today. He's going to work with Patrick and Happy Jack and pick out some other parts of music, some other Mike Jones music, so that there will be, it'll still be the Pendulette theme. It'll still be the massive Mike Jones orchestra, but there'll be a little bit different music there. Probably also get a little more stuff from Happy Jack's brother. So there's going to be a lot more. For those of you who are digging on the cool Playboy After Dark jazz sounds that come into the show, we'll have more and more being played there. Do you like it as a bed? Do you like it underneath there? Is that distracting?
You know, I think it's a little distracting.
It's a little distracting.
I'll try not to hum through the whole show.
So we're on Free FM, in case you didn't know. 866-313-FREE, that's 3733. As always, you can call with anything that pops into your head. That always works. But our major thing today is going to be the persecution of Christians. There was a big conference in D.C. a couple days ago, and a bunch of nuts got together. I'm trying to find this piece of paper here. A bunch of nuts got together and said that the war on Christmas, remember all that jive that was going on about how people were against Christmas because they didn't believe in Christ? Oh, okay. It's now morphed into the war on Christians. Last December, some evangelical Christian groups declared the religious celebration of Christmas, and even the phrase Merry Christmas was under attack by the forces of secularism. Now, here's the great thing about this. White evangelicals, this is just white evangelicals, make up about one quarter of the U.S. population. And 85% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. 85%.
Yeah, that's a minority, right? Yeah. It's less than 100.
But three quarters of the evangelicals believe that they are a minority under siege, and nearly half believe they are looked down upon by their fellow citizens, according to a 2004 poll. I don't think that's surprising. First of all, if only the white evangelicals are only a quarter, they are a minority. And I will tell you, I think they are way looked down upon by their fellow citizens. Don't you think?
Yes.
See, this is the problem. We're going to talk to Penny. Is that her name? The woman who did this.
Oh, yeah, we are. Yes.
We're going to talk to her next week.
We'll probably have her on next week, Tuesday or
Thursday.
I got
a lot of questions to ask her. She's the one that did the study in Minnesota that said that atheists were the group for which there was the most intolerance towards. Oh, that's good language. It just rolls off my tongue with clarity and beauty. She just said atheists were the most hated through a telephone poll. Telephone poll. She called people on the telephone and asked them questions. She probably didn't. It was probably undergraduates getting credit for calling people and asking them how much they hate atheists. And I just think there's this whole thing where everybody cries religious intolerance. And I'm talking about atheists, too. And you know, I dig atheists. I be one myself. I dig them, dig them, dig them.
If they let you in the club.
But I get so sick of this whininess. The Christians out there, you know, you're not being persecuted. People do look down on you because they disagree with your crazy ideas. And that's the way it is. And Scientologists, too, and atheists, too. There is not a group in this country that should ever feel that they are not religiously persecuted, because that's what an open dialogue is. Someone says to me, Jesus died for my sins, and I go, and they go, you're an evil atheist. That's the way it's supposed to go. That's the way the dialogue works. But speaking of Christians not being persecuted, we had a person write in, a gentleman by the name of Mike. I won't give his last name. I believe that Mike is a genius. Mike got an idea. We're going to do this last week, and we forgot about it on Thursday. And this has to be done on Thursday. It's Lent, for those of you heathens who don't know. It's a time when something happened to Christ, and something happened in the church, and something happened that makes Catholics not do certain things during a certain time of the year. I just wanted to give you the history on this so you'd really understand it.
It also happened to coincide with the break of spring, equinox.
And so the mighty, mighty Mike who sent this to us a couple weeks ago. He wrote this. It's all in caps, showing...
That's always a good sign.
Always a good sign. You know you're dealing with a nut, and it's just genius. I'm going to read this to you and roll it around, and I know that I have, we have, you know, from reading our mail, we have a ton of atheists that listen to our show. We also have a ton of people who may be a little bit religious but aren't in favor of organized religion. And we have a ton of people, I think, who think Lent is stupid. As a matter of fact, one of the things, Free FM featuring Penn Jillette, he thinks Lent is stupid. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. I do think Lent is really stupid. You remember I talked about Chiquita Banana Wednesday. Where you put a Chiquita Banana... instead of Ash Wednesday, put a Chiquita Banana sticker on your forehead. We had a lot of stickers here of all different kinds, and we were wearing Chiquita Banana stickers. We even put a little one on Little Moxie. And the reason we do that, now I was thrown out of school on my high school, as I told, for wearing a Chiquita Banana sticker on my head on Ash Wednesday. And the principal, when I was brought down to the principal, Mr. Jones, was my principal's name. It's the greatest thing in the world because, you know, Bob Dylan's Ballad of a Thin Man, I was able to say, but something's happening and you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? I was able to say that to my principal, and he was not a Dylan fan and didn't get it. It was just terrific. So I wrote a play when I was in high school, and it was a little short play for the talent show, and it started with singing to the principal, something's happening, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? And then this very, very odd, I guess you could call it political, but certainly insane, play in the middle, and then at the end, something's happening, you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? And Mr. Jones, my principal, Ed Jones, I even remember his name. See, most people remember the teachers from their high school. I remember the principal because I was so rarely in classes. I was always thrown out. I was wearing this Chiquita Banana sticker on my forehead. And he said, you know, you're ridiculing the Catholics in our school. And I said, no, no, no. I just love Chiquita Bananas. But now I'll fess up. Ed Jones has since passed away. And there's no reason to keep this lie up. Yes, I was ridiculing the Catholics in my school. But my Chiquita Banana Wednesday was nothing compared to this guy, Mike.
Mike's a genius.
He's a genius. If we all, and I guess by we, he means atheists, all listeners. If we, and many radio people have tried to do this, you know, they've tried to rally together. You know, Stern got everybody to call the FCC about Oprah, and there's been a lot of stuff. I can't think of yet another example at all, but I'm sure there
must have been other instances.
Sure there are. So when I say, most of the time on this show, when I say everybody says, means one person said it to me. And when I say a lot, it means I know of one. Because on most situations, I know of nothing. So when I know of one, that's a lot to me. So there's been a lot. I would say I would like to call a rally in here. And, you know, we tried to do the, you know, do your, make sure that you have your organs all donated to science. We did all of that and make sure you get bone marrow
blood type. Bone marrow, sure.
For all that stuff you can do to be able to do bone marrow donating.
I think about 10 people did it.
About 10 people did it. That's huge. This has to be bigger. I want, the number I'm looking for on this is I would like about 800 million.
Okay.
This is the number I'd like. Because you remember, there are 1 billion radios in the world. 1 billion radios in the world. So 800 million.
So we get 80% of all of those radios.
That's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. So 800. And of course, that's not even counting the iPods. And there are hundreds of iPods. Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Hundreds. Did you read that they have
but
this
But you know what? It'll be sometime next week that they'll be listening. It won't be very effective next week.
That's true. That iPod. You know, we get letters to our Gmail, which is penradio@gmail.com. P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O @gmail.com. We get... that's the nutty thing about podcasts.
Yes.
And the podcasts are now legal. We couldn't talk about them for a while because CBS Radio was against them. They were holding the line against... postmodern, those newfangled appliances. No microwaves in CBS, no iPods. But now it's cool. We can talk about it. And we get these really insightful letters about stuff we talked about 6 weeks ago.
From Australia and Japan. It's been really nice.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful, but we never know what they're talking about. Because we have no idea.
We're getting letters from New Zealand.
Radio is ephemera. It's an ephemeral form. We talk, it goes away. It's not meant to last forever, so we don't remember what we're saying. If we were doing a Eugene O'Neill play, we would remember those words. Those are meant to be important. But if you listen carefully to what I'm saying, nothing should be remembered. It's just supposed to float over you. It's nice. It's ephemeral. It's like, when you're at the doctor's office and you pick up the magazine, with crazy Tom Cruise on the cover and you read a little bit of it. You're not supposed to retain that. If you remember anything you read in the doctor's office, it's bad for you. You don't want to do that. Let it flow over you. And the stuff I say, don't remember, except for this, where we want 800 million people. Here's what Mike said. What a genius. Now, last time I tried to read this, I got three words in. Okay? If we all, now we don't want all. We don't want all because that's ridiculous. We want just 80% of the people who could possibly be listening. So we want about 800 million. So not all, but if we all go to McDonald's, doesn't have to be McDonald's because we also have to hit Burger King and the other places. But you'll see why. This is good. If we all go to McDonald's and get fish sandwiches today, Thursday, will there be enough left for the Catholics tomorrow? That's persecution. That's persecution. Picture those anti-birth control Catholics with their 8 screaming kids in the station wagon. We want hamburgers! We want hamburgers! Well, it's Lent. Christ is dead. Of course he's dead, you idiot! He's been dead 2,000 years, and he probably never existed! Shut up! Shut up! You're going to go to hell! What do you mean, hell? Shut up! Don't talk like that! Don't say hell! This station wagon of just absolute misery.
Chaos.
Chaos and misery. I want to go to McDonald's! I want to go to McDonald's! You can't go to McDonald's because Christ died! I want to go to McDonald's! Are you happy Christ is dead? No, I want to go to McDonald's! Well, we can go and have fish. We can't eat meat. Why can't we eat meat? Because Christ was made of meat, you moron!
That's the reason?
I don't know the reason. What is the reason you can't eat meat?
I don't know.
See? Someone should call up 866-313-FREE-3733 and tell us why you're not supposed to eat meat on Fridays during Lent. Okay, but I'm going to finish it. We all get the fish sandwiches. McDonald's, they don't stock every day. They won't be able to do it for tomorrow. Now, maybe you have to eat 2 fish sandwiches, okay? I also want to, as a little disclaimer here, I do own stock in McDonald's. A small amount of stock. Yes, I do. I actually own stock in McDonald's. And I could just see, some Christian going, I want to get back at that Penn Jillette because I persecute atheists. But everything he says is airtight. He's always perfect on everything. How can I get him? I'm going to listen to every word he says. Wait a minute. He told people to go and eat at McDonald's, and I wonder if he's a stock owner. Yes, he has 4 shares of McDonald's that he bought for a joke when he was doing a pitch to McDonald's for a Happy Meal that he designed. It was so sucky they didn't buy it. Yeah, it was back then, and he bought 4 shares because he wanted to go in and say he was a shareholder and get a little laugh on that, like I'm part of the team, we're all a brotherhood. And now I can catch him, and CBS Radio is going to say, you're doing McDonald's commercials because you have stock. And maybe they're going to give you a free fish sandwich. Well, they're not going to give me a free fish sandwich, and I am disclosing that I own stock in McDonald's. I almost knocked my cup over my tea.
So let's go get fish sandwiches.
Everybody go
right after the show.
When I say everybody, I don't mean everybody. I mean 800 million people. Get fish sandwiches. Get 2. Get 3. Because then tomorrow, why is Christ dead? Why can't we eat meat? Because Christ is dead. Picture Mel Gibson. With a car full of screaming.
All of his children in the van.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's only speaking Aramaic, of course. He goes through the drive-thru ordering in Aramaic. I'm saying that wrong, am I?
I don't know.
Aramaic?
Is that right? Seems right to me.
Yeah. Buy McDonald's fish sandwiches. I mean, really, buy a lot of them. As a matter of fact, maybe if you're having like a party night or a poker party, bring a big bag of fish. As a matter of fact, the later today you buy them, the better. I guess even tomorrow works, right? Because if there's a few.
If you go early tomorrow.
Yeah, go early tomorrow. Because what we want is, okay, this is what we want, okay? If you believe it, it is so. We'll start with that premise. If you believe it, it is so. So they believe in hell. So there is a hell. So tomorrow they go there with their screaming kids. And the kids are screaming for hamburgers. And because of the evil, persecuted atheists, there are no fish sandwiches left. And the kids are still screaming. So she goes, how bad can it be? I'll buy them a cheeseburger. And as that kid takes the cheeseburger and just goes, takes a nice bite, he's going to hell.
You know, I was with you up until this point. I can't be sending kids to hell.
You can't? Yeah. I think I did. I crossed a line there, didn't
you? You crossed the line. Well, I was so with the gag. But then the moment you brought in, you know, the minuscule chance that hell would be real, we have to let it go.
Let me back up again.
All right, try to get back up.
So there is no such thing as hell. There's no such thing whatsoever. We know that for a fact. There is no hell. The kids are safe. So because of us, they go in. There's no fish sandwiches. And they say, Mommy, 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 I want a hamburger. Well, there's no fish sandwiches. You can't. Because Christ is dead. Okay, here, have a cheeseburger. And the kid takes the cheeseburger, and he takes a bite of the meat during Lent. He's spitting in the face of Christ. He's going to go to hell, and then nothing happens. He takes a bite of that hamburger, and everything is okay. There's no lightning. There's no punishment. There's no evil in his soul. It's all beautiful. And then that kid, because he's tasted that cheeseburger, then decides to learn everything he can about what's really known about the real world. And he becomes a scientist, full-time, studies evolution, reads about Darwin, reading about the grandeur of life on the riverbed and how all this came from one source. And he looks into DNA, and he goes to Watson and Crick, and he studies everything about genetics, and he finds a cure for AIDS, for SARS, for everything. He finds a cure for all of mankind's problems with the real pure science because you had a fish sandwich at McDonald's and made him see the errors of his ways because there's no hell. It's all beauty. It's all gorgeous. And I own stock in McDonald's. We'll be back after this. Ben Gillette, 866-313-3733. It's Ben Gillette talking to y'all, talking about I did that whole thing about the fish sandwich, which I thought was so good.
Yeah,
and I was very happy with myself. I was very happy with myself because I gave someone else's idea on the radio. It was not even my idea to buy the fish sandwiches. And then Happy Jack comes in during the break and says two words to me that shoot down everything. Chicken sandwich.
That guy.
when you have a strong political position, philosophical position, theological position, that can be shot down in two words, and those two words are chicken sandwich, it's time for a deep rethink. You know, the best heckle I ever heard was we hosted a New Year's Eve thing out of Times Square. We were like the Dick Clark that year in Times Square, Penn and Teller. It's one of the places I did the stupidest thing I've ever done, which you know who you're talking to. The person who is going to tell you at some point the blow dryer story, which is the stupidest thing a human being has ever done. But this is on our first anniversary, probably January 3rd, I'll tell the blow dryer story. But here's another stupid thing I did. We were in Times Square. It was freezing cold, watching the ball drop, and we were outside. And we were throwing it to Axl Rose. So this is the year it was. It was the year that someone cared about Axl Rose. And he was playing in Miami, an outdoor show. And he was running around the stage in his boxer shorts. So we threw to Axl Rose in Florida. Then we're watching the monitor. And we see that Axl Rose is in his boxer shorts. So Teller and I thought it would be funny if they came back to us and we were in our boxer shorts. So in Times Square, it was certainly in the single digits for temperature, Fahrenheit. We took off all our clothes except for our boxer shorts. So we were in Times Square in the snow and freezing cold wind wearing just our boxer shorts. And we came back from Axl Rose. We thought this would be really funny. And I was so cold that I couldn't get out. Thank you, Axl Rose. I was just chattering. We went to commercial, and then what we hadn't realized was we'd gotten undressed. We got our overcoats, scarves, all our suits. We were down to just our boxer shorts in the freezing cold. And because it was so cold, we'd taken our gloves off. We couldn't dress ourselves again. So we had cameramen coming over to us during this three-minute commercial, and I'm screaming at them, don't be homophobic now! Pull up my zipper! Pull up my zipper! Because they had to dress us completely because we couldn't move our hands. And the whole rest of the night, because our Axl Rose gag, because we stripped ourselves naked in Times Square on January 1st, or, you know, the last day of the other year, it was miserable. And that show we also threw to Sam Kennison, which will also give you an idea of the year because Sam was alive. And Sam was working in L.A. at a club, and he was just kind of riffing, you know. And as you recall, my entire argument was torn apart by two words, chicken sandwich. And oh, by the way, Jeff, my assistant, is running up to McDonald's now to buy every fish sandwich they have.
Can he give me a fish while he's chicken while he's on the way?
No, you give him fish. We're just doing fish sandwiches because fish is the traditional one because Christ was not made out of fish.
Well, you know, we have a Gmail from Eric who says it was my impression that chicken is red meat and therefore off limits to Christians during Lent.
Yeah.
I'm trying to verify that now.
Yeah. Yeah. Who said that?
Who? Eric.
Eric. You think Eric knows more than Happy Jack? Eric from Pennsylvania? What are you from, Happy Jack? You're from Chicago, right? Yeah, Chicago. Yeah. What would Chicago know about Lent? There are no Catholics in Chicago. I don't know. I think they can't eat chicken either. So I think my plan is still good. But my point is, my point now becomes, this is what becomes interesting about this show. I was right.
At last.
I was right. I was corrected.
Yes.
I backed down instantly, like a real man would, started telling a story during the back down, and now I have come back around to my original position, but I'm still stuck in the story that relates to the back down. So keep that straight. The way this starts was that my whole argument, which was correct, was shot down in two words, which were chicken sandwich. Okay, and I'm going to talk about how Sam Kennison was shot down in one word. The greatest heckle I ever heard in my life. Sam Kennison was riffing about, I don't know why, the song was on New Year's Eve, but Sam was riffing, and you know, Sam was always funny. Sam was riffing about how the space program, how we raced to the moon because we had this space race and we had to beat Russia. And then Sam said, and he's building up to the real Sam Kennison yelling thing and just goes, Russia never had a chance. They never had any technology. They never beat us in anything. And there's a pause and he's building up to the big punchline. There's a pause and one guy in the audience goes, Sputnik! Sputnik! And it was the perfect pause, and it was absolutely clear. And Sam, you know, I did Stern a lot with Sam, and Sam was brilliant. I mean, he was a really smart guy, and he was as fast as anybody's ever been, and he's building up in this big thing. And it was just great to see, because the guy goes, Sputnik, which is the best possible heckle. Because, you know, heckles are traditionally just some idiot yelling out
insanity.
More beer, Sam! I hate my girlfriend! But this guy, clear and from a distance, Sputnik!
Throwing a razor blade into his forehead. Man.
And Sam Kennison goes, hey, Russians have never beat us at anything! And Sputnik! It just makes sense. You know, Sam Kennison with the mic right in his hand and the heavy coat and the hat on and, you know, stomping around the stage and getting up to that Sputnik. Sam just kind of does this. Okay, yeah, but since then... So there I am, rocking along with my argument for the fish, and I get torn down with chicken sandwich. But it turns out that the chicken sandwich was not the first in space, like we thought. Because the chicken sandwich is red meat, and the Russians did not launch it into space as the first satellite. So I am vindicated, and Sam too. And we miss Sam. I really do miss Sam. He was great. Sam Kennison said, I don't think he said this publicly. He might have said it on the show, but he said to Conan O'Brien, they were in a video store. Conan told me this. I don't even know if it was a bit or on air, if it was just them hanging out at a video store. I don't know why they would go, you know, Conan and Sam going to Blockbuster, but whatever. And they looked at a Whoopi Goldberg tape, and Sam Kennison said, there's a woman whose entire career is based on a whole nation deciding not to hurt someone's feelings simultaneously. And that's really true. Whoopi Goldberg is the nicest person in the world. And I've never cared for any of her movies, but I still, you know, we would do like the Hollywood Squares with her. And she's just terrific and supportive and wonderful. She's great.
She's great in The Aristocrats.
She's fabulous in
The Aristocrats. You know what I mean? I've never really seen her do anything genuinely funny until The Aristocrats.
Oh, I didn't see her original one-woman show.
Yeah, no, I didn't
Broadway,
either.
Because that was supposed to be pretty boss. And I didn't get to see it. But what does that gesture mean? Oh, yeah. You have your phone?
Well, we have some great Gmails. Chris says, do you think Catholics ever eat at TGI Fridays? Which I think is really funny.
We had that phone call. We were going to talk about kids anyway, weren't we?
We lost that one. But we have... We have someone. Oh, Phil on line six.
Let's talk to Phil on line six. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
Hey. Doing very well, sir. How are you?
I'm curious. I've always been. I'm Catholic. I'm not a very strict Catholic.
Uh-huh.
I hear you say that you're an atheist because you feel that people who are religious, that just being religious means that they're against other religions. Yet you're an atheist, and it seems that you're just so hard against Catholicism and Christianity. And I just think it's a big contradiction.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a very important point. I believe strongly that people should talk about religion constantly. They should argue about it, and they should argue about it very strongly and very aggressively. I then believe that that can never, ever go to violence or real persecution. So I believe the two of us go to Starbucks, we order a cup of coffee, and I make my statement for Darwinism and the grandeur of life, and you make your statement for the teachings of Christ and how that informs your life and how important that is to you, and we go back and forth, and we use the word idiot, and we use the word fool, and we raise our voices and say, what are you, crazy? Because that's the way people who love and respect each other talk. It's the way I talk to my friends. But we do not, under any circumstances, cause the other person any damage. It has to stay totally on the intellectual level. And I did say on one show, you're not expected to hear every show I do, but I did explain very clearly that I love the fact that I have people like you who come and say, you know, come to me after the show or write Gmails and say, you know, I do not agree with you, but you're passionate, and they're always tolerant. I have had, with very few exceptions, no problems with any Christians having any sort of dangerous hostility toward me. I mean, it's always under the American umbrella of the marketplace of ideas, and the solution of bad speech is more speech. So I do those whole speeches, and I do those whole rants about Christianity, and it's what I believe. I do not back down from it at all, but I also think there's a lot of beautiful, wonderful, wide open-minded people who do believe in Catholicism and Christianity, and I would never, as a matter of fact, I would fight for their right to believe, to talk about, and to worship in any way they want, anywhere they want. Is that clear?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that also, like, one thing, and I'm so for that, I love the free speech. I think you're very open-minded. That's why I tune in. I have a lot of conservative beliefs. I disagree with a lot of people, but I love hearing the opinions, and I love the open-mindedness. But I also have to say that I think that if you said similar things about any other religion, that you would, pardon the pun, catch all hell.
You know, you're probably right, and that's one of the kindest things. When we had, I don't know if you heard the show with Lawrence O'Donnell on, but Lawrence O'Donnell Jr., one of the writers on the West Wing, made a beautiful statement. He was talking about the cartoons, the Muslim cartoons that caused all the riots and all the deaths. And he said that we had a huge population of Catholics in the United States of America who believed in their souls, deep down in their hearts, that abortion was absolutely first-degree murder, no ifs, ands, or buts. And yet the amount of violence done by those Catholics was four or five people, single-digit people in, you know, 20 years or so. So you're absolutely right that if I were doing that, I mean, even about Scientologists, certainly about Muslims, many other groups, there'd be huge violence. And that's one of the things that I think I'm most proud of as an American, is that we have people of such different opinions that are able to, you know, I don't imagine, do you watch South Park?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, you know, you're able to watch South Park, which certainly lampoons your conservative views, and you're able to take that enough and do the thinking and see that as the marketplace of ideas. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So when you say, if I were doing that to any other religion, I would really be in trouble, I agree with you 100%, and I think that's the most positive thing you can say about Christianity.
I think that it's a little bit more, just that whenever people... not to call what you do or are saying about Catholicism is bashing, but just use that term, that since you're bashing on what is the majority, I think it's okay. I think whenever people bash on what is the majority, it's accepted. And anything that isn't the absolute majority of, you know, white, heterosexual male or Catholic male, you know, that, you know, it's okay to bash them. And I don't care. I have a thick skin to it, I guess.
Sure.
But, you know, I just think that when people do that, it's always accepted, but anyone else, not.
Yeah, I agree completely, and thanks so much for calling, and I just love people like you. Listen, it means the world to me. Thanks so much. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this. Free FM, 866-313-FREE, 3733. You can still buy all the fish sandwiches. This is Ben Gillette. You're listening to the amazing Mike Jones' gigantic orchestra playing that theme. And Mike Jones is in the house. The piano player who played that is sitting in the other room.
I can see his arms.
Yeah, you can see all the tattoos of the Benatella show. He's in there. And he's come in to pick some more music and set some more stuff up. So if you do love the Mike Jones music, jonesjazz.com. Is that right, Jonesy? Look at me.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, jonesjazz.com. You can get a ton of CDs of the proper Mike Jones, not the rapper in Texas. Although our Mike Jones does bring the crunk, but not in quite the same way that the guy there does. He'll be picking up some new music, so tomorrow we'll have new music for this. Mike Jones also did 12 years of Catholic school and has the walk to prove it. 12 years of Catholic school, and he says you can't eat chicken on Fridays in Lent. He just came in and bitch slapped Happy Jack, who just made that whole thing up. It's not just red meat. The red meat thing was some girl you dated in college. Did you go to college, Happy Jack? He drove by the college once. New Mike Jones stuff. You can eat fries. Yeah, fry. See, the one word.
Although McDonald's fries for a while were fried in beef.
Right? So you're wrong, Happy Jack. You see how I admit that I'm wrong? You know, I've had more practice, perhaps, than you. But try to learn from a master at how you back down. A study in Britain's Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine has examined archaeological evidence of crucifixion and come to the conclusion the image of Christ on the cross may not be accurate. In many documented cases, the victim was actually nailed to the cross upside down, which casts further doubt on whether Jesus Christ ever actually said, I can see my house from here. The study does lend credence, however, to the one existing portrait of Christ wearing gravity boots. So there's some more theological information. You know, Robbie Libin sent that to me. Robbie Libin works for us. And Robbie Libin's very good friends with Josh Mankiewicz. And Josh Mankiewicz is on Dateline. There's a show called Dateline. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. He's the guy that gives, he's like the Andy Rooney, I guess, of Dateline. I've never seen it. But he does this like thing called Josh's Blog. And he had discovered the Chris Bliss video of Chris Bliss juggling.
Yeah.
And then he had discovered the Jason Garfield of doing the routine with five balls and decided he wanted to do something on it. And because I'm the only juggler he knew, he got in touch with me to say, would I do a webcam interview with him for this this Dateline thing? And I said, sure. And then he did more research and discovered that the five-ball Chris Bliss routine was my idea. But he has to do it on... So my wife has just spent, like... She doesn't want me to exaggerate on this, but like 2.5 hours or 3 hours getting the webcam thing to work so I can do an interview. Because I was at a television studio yesterday, okay? But he didn't want to do that because he wants to make it look like it's on his computer screen. Okay. And I get to talk about this Chris Bliss and Jason Garfield thing. For those of you who don't know, Chris Bliss did this this video that went viral of him doing a three-ball juggling routine to Golden Slumbers by the Beatles. And my point of view was that it was mostly the Beatles music they were applauding for, and that the juggling was rather rudimentary, and he was mostly just moving around like he was dancing with scarves or something. And if you like that, cool, but I didn't think it was that good at juggling. And I Bliss was horrible, or that was terrible. It just wasn't really juggling. And if you're interested in juggling, this isn't the place to start. So, I had the idea, what a real man would do, of course, is to learn the routine himself with five balls, but a guy like Penn Jillette gets someone else to do it. So I got Jason Garfield, who's a fabulous juggler, jasongarfield.com, I think, and also on penradio.com, the video is there, and he learned to Golden Slumbers a routine to Chris Bliss. And then it started this whole blog wars with everybody saying, well, I like Chris Bliss better. He has showmanship, and he brings the audience to their feet, where Jason Garfield is just one of those losers, like the guy who sends a video in of him playing drums better than Charlie Watts and saying, why am I not in the Rolling Stones? Charlie Watts sucks. All that is true. Okay? And Jason is a bitter, angry guy who sits in a room and practices all day long. Because you can't practice all day long at anything without being a bitter, hateful guy. Mike Jones, sitting in the other room, the best piano player I've ever seen. He moves his fingers so fast over the keys that you could not play that fast if it didn't matter what note you hit. If you're just trying to wiggle your fingers around, you couldn't do it. He's incredibly good. Best piano player ever, and one of my closest friends in the world. And a bitter, hateful bastard. That's the way you've got to be if you get that good. Of course Chris Bliss is happy and crowd-pleasing. He never practiced a goddamn day in his life. He's just prancing around to Beatles music. Jason Garfield sweats and practices and drops things and yells at the equipment and stuff like that. So I've got to go on this Josh Mankiewicz show and try to be measured about this. And I think my point's going to be, you know, is, okay, you can love the Troggs, but after you've listened to the Troggs for a while, how bad is it to hear a little Les Paul and go, oh, you can also play guitar like that? You know, how bad is it after you see Chris Bliss prancing around like a fairy, you know, with a ball in each hand and spinning around doing nothing, and you say, boy, I really like that. I wonder what else people can do with juggling. That's the whole point of the Jason Garfield thing from my point of view. Now, from Jason's point of view, it has to do with his persecution over the years. And speaking of persecution, I don't all. The door's not closed. I could hear that. A few quotes from Thomas Jefferson. In every country and in every age, the priest has been hostile to liberty. He is always in alliance with the despot, abetting his abuses in return for protection to his own. Another quote, Christianity neither is nor ever was a part of the common law. A couple Thomas Jefferson quotes that just tie in and show that atheists are not persecuted in this country. Christians are not persecuted in this country, and certainly Muslims are not persecuted in this country, and even Scientologists are not persecuted in this country, but that doesn't mean you can't call any of them stupid, including atheists all the time. That's the way, that's the marketplace of ideas. I want to just give a little shout out, little woohoo, to Bob Korn Revere, who was on the show and is a dear friend of mine, man. I like Bob Korn Revere so much. He's a great guy.
Before you do that, can we talk about the Chris Bliss project that should be going wild?
Sure.
He's got a thing called mybillofrights.org where he is trying to put a Bill of Rights next to every public display of the Ten Commandments. Now, why isn't that the one that everyone is sending around going, "This, have you seen this? This is great." MyBillOfRights.org.
MyBillOfRights.
I said the money.
Org. You did?
I did.
Yeah. I don't. Do you know? Have you ever met Chris Bliss?
No, I've never met him. No.
I have to meet him sometime, I guess. Now, if anybody knows Chris Bliss,
<a fight.
laughs> have him get in touch with me. You know, because you know how much can he have in common with us? I mean, he's a juggler. One.
Right.
He's not a good juggler, which all three of us have in common. You know, Jason Garfield's a good juggler. You, me, and Chris Bliss are not. You know, he was on some TV show showing he had chops by doing four balls. You know what I mean? That's like my kind of chops. Jason Garfield does 10. He was showing his chops by doing four. But this this Bill of Rights project is amazing.
It's spectacular.
And I, you know, with Dean Cameron, yeah. If you go to Security Edition, we're just giving out nothing but web addresses here. SecurityEdition.com. Dino did the Bill of Rights on a little piece of metal to go through metal detectors at the airport and give away your Bill of Rights. And what are you holding up to me?
I'm showing you that Jeff is at McDonald's.
Jeff is at McDonald's on line six. You could have just said that. So Chris Bliss is A-okay with us. We really, really like him. He's a good guy. He's a great guy. Jason
Clearly
Garfield's
a freedom
better.
Fighter.
Casey Garfield's a better juggler. Let's take Jeff in line six. Going right to the McDonald's drive-thru. This is breaking news as it happens with Ben Gillette. Jeff, are you there?
I am here.
What is it like at the McDonald's? Are atheists just lining up? Are there hundreds of thousands of people buying fish sandwiches?
It's utter pandemonium here, my friend.
How many people are in line, Jeff?
In front of me, there are currently four people in line.
Four people, and all of them have like the Darwin stickers on the back of their cars. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Every one of them? And are they bringing out like just boxes and boxes of fish sandwiches?
There are people here with fishing poles, Ben. It's insane.
Are you inside or in the drive-thru?
I'm inside.
You're inside. And it's just they're packed in, aren't they? And this is happening in McDonald's all over the world. All over the world, 800 million people are buying fish sandwiches. And what do you intend to buy?
I'm sorry?
What do you intend to buy? What are you going to buy when you get there?
I believe I'm going to buy every fish sandwich they have in stock, my friend.
Every fish sandwich they have. And whose money are you going to use?
I'm using yours, of course.
Okay, make it like three fish sandwiches then. No.
No mayo.
You've got, whose credit card have you got? We got Infinity's credit card. I mean, sorry, CBS. We have CBS Radio's credit card. Do you have CBS's credit card?
Corporate American Express.
You have the Corporate American Express?
No, I have the Visa.
Yeah, the Visa, but is it Penn and Teller or is it CBS?
It's yours specifically.
Oh, damn. Okay, thank you. Buy a bunch of fish sandwiches, bring them back here. We'll have a party. That is Jeff Welch on the Welch. I said Welch. Jeff Welch. I should know the name
should
of a person who's in my
call
household.
Call him Welch. He's got your credit card.
And he is at the McDonald's where, as he said, it's pandemonium. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Can you get some fries with that?
Fries. Get some fries, too. Get some fries.
And for Jack, I'll get one chicken sandwich.
And one chicken sandwich for Happy Jack. And, you know, get some of them McDonald's shakes. Those are good.
Yeah, you know what? Give fish sandwiches to anyone in line behind you who wants any.
Right. Buy fish sandwiches. Just give them out to people. I want you to be Johnny Fish Sandwich Seed. I want you to be going. I want you to prance. I want you to prance like a Chris Bliss. Prance and spin around with them in your hands and then throw them to people while singing, "And in the end, the fish sandwich you take is equal to the fish sandwich you make." Screw Lent. We love Catholics. We love you all. Good night. I want you to be just the fairy Johnny Fish Sandwich Seed of the McDonald's at Rainbow and Blue Diamond. Can you do that for me, Jeff?
Of course I will.
Thank you so much, Jeff. That was Jeff on the phone with us. I'm Penn Jillette. It's been a pleasure talking to you, man. I love that caller, that Christian caller.
Yeah.
That's who I want listening to the show. Marketplace of Ideas. That's Free FM. And by the way, I don't stop in the box. Bye-bye!